back here in Albert Lea in the Americana Insurance Press Box. Aaron Worm and John Hansen with you. And John was just counting up, JV, 11 and 6.
Yeah, we won 11, lost 6. So, yeah, that was a good performance by the JV. I thought they wrestled hard. I thought we really competed. There was only really one match where, well, the final match ended in an injury default on our kid. But we were getting beat pretty handedly and kind of got slammed on the mat with our head and kind of concussion protocol.
Okay,
and
gotcha.
Decided to take that one off. We're not going to go with that. So, but outside of that, I mean, you know, everybody competed very hard. My JV has been wrestling really solid all year. Just last weekend, we qualified 4 individuals to the 9th grade state tournament. 7th grader Trent English at 126. 9th grader Dylan Gross at, 8th grader Dylan Gross at 106. He was the champion in the section. And then Trent was also a champion at 126. And then Tegan Tolbers, 9th grader at 160, was runner-up. And Will Velasquez at heavyweight took second also. So, real good competition over there, and our team was 3rd in team points in the 9th grade section, and there was like 13 teams, so I was real proud of that performance.
That's awesome. Now, when it comes to the varsity matchup, looking at the Big 9 standings, John, have you seen it this close at the top to have like 5 teams? Usually there's a couple of teams that kind of pull away, and there's maybe that one big match to decide who's going to win the Big 9 conference crown. There's been a lot of big matches already this season.
Yeah, it's I guess the one term you could use would be equity.
Yep.
There's a lot of equalness up there in those top 5-6 teams. Well, proof of it was we just had a try up there in Northfield, and we beat Northfield, wrestled really outstanding, and just competed hard and won that one in the good matchups. And then we kind of went a little bit backwards on the next round, with Faribault, and gave up too many falls, and we ended up losing there. And then the final match of the night with the try was Northfield and Faribault, and Northfield turned it around and beat Faribault. So it's like, okay, how do you figure all that out? But, yeah, matchups is key usually in any given night, you know. And then you got Mayo in the mix and in Northfield
and
Mayo, and Owatonna is always right there too. So
when you look at this matchup, on paper, does this matchup favor Albert Lea?
I would say on paper it looks to be in our favor. The big thing's going to be we got to pull out the big matches where we need them, as far as in bonus points and getting a nice comfortable lead down low where we normally do. And then the guys up in the middle and top got to do their job and not give up the bonus and also pull off a win here and there, you know. So, yeah, it's going to be real interesting. I would say on paper we're definitely favored, but hey, anybody's match anytime, any night, and especially when you're facing Owatonna and Albert Lea duel here. So,
I want to get your thoughts when it comes to the Ascension tournament that's going to be here before you know it.
Oh, yeah.
Kansas and Manorville, they're going to be the number one seed. They're the real deal. Then he got Albert Lea, Zambroda Mazeppa, and Cannon Falls.
Yeah, and Pine Island. Pine Island's been doing real well in the section also. They're looking pretty solid, but I'm not sure how that matchup went the other night. Did you get results or hear anything on Zambroda and Casson? They wrestled here about 2-3 nights ago, I think.
I'm pretty sure Casson won.
Yeah, but I know they were talking, and Zambroda had a shot to bump them off, but didn't know. So, yeah, it was. But, yeah, Zambroda's really got a strong young team, and they handed it to us twice last year, and it'll probably be us and them 2 and 3 seed, I would guess, with Casson holding on its number one seed pretty solidly there. And then who knows who would be 4 and 5, Cannon, Pine Island, they're all right there. So
when you look at the same section but in Class 3A, that could be a real battle this year with Faribault, Mayo, Owatonna. That could be one of the most exciting sections, I think, wrestling because
exactly.
That's really up in the air.
Oh, yeah. It's any one of those four teams.
Northfield, too.
Yeah,
don't forget about Northfield.
Northfield, Faribault, Mayo, and Owatonna, any one of them four shows up at the right time and the right lineups and get the right flip on a you know, odd and even matches can be big, too. You know, that little chess match of shuffling this wrestler against that wrestler, et cetera, which you'll see a little bit of that tonight.
Lineups are just announced. And we'll just go through them as the match continues. T&W Towing of Albert Lee brings you to starting lineups. The next time you find yourself on the side of the road and you need a tow, you call T&W Towing of Albert Lee, 473-2999. And we are ready to go at 106. We'll hand things over to John Hansen.
All right. The Albert Lee Tigers have Ryan Collins out there, an eighth grader who's been wrestling very, very strongly for us down here at that lighter weight. Did a nice job at the Christmas tournament, placing in the top eight, and he's just been competing in every match. He is taking on Caden Lindquist, a seventh grader, a little bit lighter side, about 100 pounds even, where Ryan, he's a full 107. And there was a nice outside single shot and a takedown for Ryan Collins for the Liberty Tigers to get a nice 2-0 lead in this matchup here at 106 pounds. Working wrist tie-ups, arm bar tie-up down underneath there now, trying to get a tilt. Caden Lindquist, the Otana wrestler, as I said, seventh grade. I'm not sure. Well, it looks like his record is 21-3, so real solid record there for that young seventh grader for him. So just a little bit undersized here. Ryan, I guess I don't got his record in front of me, but I know he's got a pretty solid record going on, 22-13 here, Aaron just showed me. So, yeah, Ryan's got a nice ball and chain tie up here. Got Lindquist's wrist down between the legs, and now he goes back up to a tilt move, trying to get some back points, and Lindquist is doing everything he can to not get turned here. 48 seconds to go in this first period. 2-0 lead for Ryan Collins. Now he's running a heavy half right over top of the head, trying to tilt him. And good defensive move there by Lindquist to swing his legs away and free that hand on the head. Not much opportunity for the Otana wrestler to score down there, but also doing a great job defending everything that Ryan Collins is doing, trying to tie him up and get a turn here and get some back points here in this first period. Down to 20 seconds to go, and still nothing close to a turn here or an escape. But there's a little action by Lindquist trying to get to his feet. Collins does a nice job capturing his hips, bringing him back down heavy on his hands. Tripod stand-up attempt by Lindquist. Collins goes right to that high claw ride and brings him right back flat to the mat. And the first period ends, 2-0 lead for Ryan Collins for the Huskies, for the Tigers. He defers his choice in this period. And Lindquist will go on his feet, preferring to try and score there. Collins needs to attack and go right to work, get another takedown, and maybe that's his ticket here, is cut him and get back or get takedowns to build that lead, and then look for something off his feet. Coaches have yet to tell him there. Now they're announcing it. Coaches telling him, get him on his feet, get a takedown. Lindquist dives right in, trying to get a quick takedown, and Collins does a nice slide-by snap down. Go behind, takedown. He leads it now 6-1. They're yelling now more urgently. Get him on his feet. You can take him down all day long here. Ryan Collins cuts him. It's now 6-2 match. It's, I believe, 6-3. I think he's cut him twice in this period. So Collins going after it here now, trying to get another takedown. Pushes him out of bounds and a stall call against the Otana wrestler as he backs away. Ryan hustles right back to the center. 1:16 on the clock. Looking for more points off his feet on this takedowns here. Collins needs to keep that intensity and keep attacking and not let Lindquist do any kind of tying up, slowing the match down here. It's a 6-2 lead after those two quick escapes he gave him and the two takedowns that he picked up himself. Another shot in deep on the leg, split in the middle, trying to cross it over and get a takedown here and possibly back points. Nice pivoted hips through the middle on top for an 8-2 lead. 45 seconds to go, grinding away on the head, trying to get a turn. Lindquist just posting on the bottom, fighting off everything that Collins is throwing at him. Down to 35 seconds. Now Lindquist tried a little sit-out turn. Collins stopped that and goes right back to attack on the wrist. 25 seconds to go in this second period, an 8-2 lead for Ryan Collins from Albert Lee, trying to pick up bonus points for his team. Got him all bellied out, 20 seconds to go, wrist tie up underneath. Lindquist doing a nice job somewhat stalling as he's just tying up wrists and not really giving any advantage to Collins to turn him here. Continues to work on, now I got a head lever, doesn't get that in the final 3 seconds to go in the second period. We'll head to the third, 8-2 lead for Ryan Collins.
Now, John, when it comes to weigh-ins today, everybody weighed in where they needed to be?
Yeah.
No surprises?
Well, we were a little bit surprised on one of their weigh-ins. We thought their really good wrestler in the middle there, Cale Robb, the senior, we thought he was going to be weighing in at 60. So we actually made a move with Derek McMillan and weighed him in at 70 to make sure we had the ability to stay away from that matchup. Well, then they come here and Rob weighs in at 52. So now we got another chess match to play out there. Ryan Collins quickly with an escape in the third period and a takedown. And then he cut him loose and he's right back on his feet going to work. He's got an 11-3 major decision lead right now against this Owatonna wrestler, looking to get the tech fall or maybe even a fall if he can dump him on something here. Snap down off that shot by Lindquist by Collins. A nice little throw by. Goes around behind for another takedown. 13-3 lead. They're going to keep cutting him and keep building that lead. Lindquist is up for an escape. 13-4. Ryan's in again on a shot. Trying to keep him in the mat. Lindquist tries to spin away, but he gets him down. Nope. Now Lindquist gets around and hangs on to that leg, and that's exactly what we don't need here, Aaron. We can't let him cling and burn clock so that we don't have time to keep scoring. Stalemate call by the official. We're back on our feet with 102. 13-4 lead for Ryan Collins. Keep attacking here and hopefully build about six more points to get that major, or excuse me, tech fall. So he's got to score lots here and he's got to keep attacking, especially since that Owatonna wrestler has been called for stalling. There's a nice double leg takedown, takes him right down to the mat. Got 45 on the clock. He's got a 15-4 lead. That's only 11. He needs to have a lot more takedowns in these last 30 seconds to get that tech fall. Owatonna wrestler clammed up underneath again, locking up hands, just posting, stopping everything he's trying to do. Final 30 seconds as they're by the edge of the mat, and out they go. 25 on the clock in the final period, 15-4. This is where I was talking about, Aaron, where we need to keep pushing the tempo to get those bonus points, and they're doing everything in their job. I give kudos to this Owatonna wrestler for keeping this to this point right now, and he's running right now, but he cut him loose for one more. It's 15-5, a 10-point lead, trying to get one more takedown in these final 15 seconds. And there's a snap down, go behind. He gets another takedown. 17-5 lead. He's got a 12-point lead, but he's not going to get a turn in the final 5 seconds. It will be a major decision for 14 points for Ryan Collins to get the Tigers started here. Nice job by him to attack like that.
So 4-0 Albert Lee with a lead, like John mentioned, 17-5 victory at 106. And before we get to 113, quick thoughts on next year wrestling going from 14 weight classes down to 13. You like it?
Personally, I do. I'm just not sure what weight they're moving and where they're turning people around and all that. You know, that's the one thing I don't like is they sometimes take away from the little guys and add up in the big guys. And as you see in just about every tournament you go to, there's no full matches up in the big weights, and there's always all these little guys. But I like the odd number for sure. Takes away a lot of that tiebreaker issue and all that. I don't mind the 13 weight classes just as long as they're smart about what weight classes they put in there. So
we're at 113, number one ranked wrestler in the state, Michael Olson on the
Michael
match.
Olson, our returning state champ from last year at 106. He gets in on a nice go-behind takedown here off an attempted shot by Donovan Sorensen, the sophomore from Owatonna. Donovan has a 12-9 record. Mike Olson's record currently is sitting at 24-3, looking very solid and on his way to hopefully high placing in the state again. An escape by Donovan by given to him by Mike Olson to get back to work on his feet, looking for something big here. Snap down, go behind by Mike Olson. 4-1 lead with 1:15 on the clock. Now he runs that half in there tight. Again, Owatonna wrestler is doing everything he can to stay away from back points. So Mike puts him right back on his feet to get more takedowns, hopefully get something from his feet to take him to his back. Another snap, slide by, go behind, and another escape. This action's going to go fast and furious here with Mike on the mat. He's a takedown expert, and he's going to go to work. Got 49 seconds to go out of bounds with a 6-3 lead for Mike Olson here at 113 pounds against Donovan Sullivan. Nice slide by, kind of a high thigh pick there as he gets another takedown, 8-3. Now looking to maybe get a turn here in the final 35 seconds. If he can get something tied up here, even a tilt or something to build some more bonus points. Sullivan doing everything he can to tie up wrist and just post and not give up anything big here. Mike going to work on the wrist and a half, looking for something big here, anything he can get back points out of. Sullivan tries to come to his feet. Sullivan going Mike goes to work with a little tilt, kind of a trap arm tilt, nothing there as Sullivan rolls through it. And we're down to the final 7 seconds, clicking on the clock here. 8-3 lead for Mike Olson at 113 here. And this period will end with that score.
I'll just let you know, John, going to the change in weight classes, it looks like the 195 is what was taken out of the equation.
And so they moved 82 to 89.
Yep, okay. So they kept the smaller weights,
that's
changed
nice.
Up some weight
that's
class.
Nice.
So, yeah, they didn't pick on the smaller guys. They went after the bigger
well,
guys.
Well, I'm glad that now I'm even happier that they're doing that. So back on our feet here as Mike give him another escape to start the second period because he wants to go to work on his feet looking for. There's a big lateral drop by Mike Olson, but Sullivan pops right out of it. No back points. But a nice takedown by Mike Olson looking for the, as we call him, the home run takedown here to get him to his back off the feet. 10-5 score here as Mike has given him two escapes and keeps attacking. I'm a little surprised the referee has not called stalling yet as that Owatonna wrestler has been backed off the mat four times now in this period and a half here. Mike in on a nice two-on-one, snap down, go behind, and takedown cuts him right away. 12-6 now. He's right in on that tie-up again. He's got it locked up. Now he's going for something he can get. There it is. There's the spladle. That's what he was looking for. This should get the fall for Mike Olson. He got the spladle, and he got the fall. Exactly what Mike Olson was trying to set up, and he got it. Big fall by Mike there at 113. Jumps the team out to a 10-0 lead over the Owatonna Huskies.
We'll take a quick timeout. More wrestling next.
For all your meat, get the best in meats at Nick's Meat in Hayward. Year after year, they win top awards at the Minnesota Association of Meat Processors show. Out of over 500 entries, they have won the best in show for their summer sausage numerous years. This award is the best of the best. They've also received awards on their smoked cheddar wurst, a variety of brat flavors, ring bologna, snack sticks, dry beef, and their brown schweiger. Why shop for your meats anywhere else when you can have award-winning meat from Nick's Meats in Hayward. It's worth the short drive.
10-0 Albert Lee after two weight classes. We wrestle at 120. We turn things back over to John Hansen.
Out on the mat, we have Logan Davis, another one of our state entrants. I think he took fourth in the state last year. And he does a nice slide by Marietti and had it locked up in what we call the Oki tilt right off his feet. And not able to get it as back points as they went out of bounds. He is wrestling Lane Kirstens. Kirstens, a sophomore, 21-8 on the year. And Logan's record right now stands at 31-5, wrestling very well here. Kirstens on the offense right away and darn near got in on a nice outside single leg against Logan, but he defended it nicely and went into that slide by tilt move that he tried to score back points with. Now he's got Kirstens all bellied out looking for a armbar tie up here. Kirsten's definitely the longer, taller wrestler here. And now Logan has that armbar tied up. Now he's looking to go to a half on the opposite side. He's got the left arm armbarred up on Kirsten's and running a half on the right-hand side, trying to get some kind of turn here. This would be big if he can get it. It's a tight move. He just needs to keep working it in and get him to turn one way or the other. Kirsten's peels the half off the head, but Logan still has that nice armbar. Now Carson's coming to his feet. This may be an escape, and Logan may be comfortable doing that. Just, oh, nice back heel trip, keeping that armbar locked up. Brings him right back down to his belly, keeping that armbar tight, trying to get back points, and out of bounds they go. 39 seconds on the clock in this first period. A 2-0 lead for Logan Davis over Lane Carson's.
Yeah, Logan ranked number 3 right now in his weight class.
Yep, he's looking really solid. Like I said, he's a Rumble champ, Rumble on the Red tournament. Placed fourth down in the Don Gable Donnybrook to start the season. And I believe he had a nice finish in the Christmas tournament, third or fourth, somewhere in there. He's looking real solid. He's very talented on his feet, quick, powerful, explosive. Nice duck unders and slide bys, shots. Now he's going to work with a nice deep waist. Got Carson's all bellied out, trying to get some kind of armbar or tilt. Turn here in the last 10 seconds of this first period, maintaining that control. Carson's into a short sit, trying to stop that deep waist tie up. Logan rotates around and keeps him down. End the period on top. That's always a good thing, especially when you move on to college and get writing time. I'm surprised they haven't tried to slide that into high school wrestling here soon, but I don't know if I'd agree with it.
Has it been on the table? Has it been discussed?
I've heard it mentioned at different section rep meetings, but nothing real big on it. Carson takes the down position and coaches look at Davis and say, hey, let's go on our feet, try and score some more here. So he cuts him loose, makes it a 2-1 score, and now Logan goes to work trying to attack for his takedown moves here. Karsten staying right in the middle there, battling. He's not afraid to go toe-to-toe on his feet with Logan, as he was in on a nice shot earlier. Thought he had something there, but Logan able to defend that. Now an underhook by Karsten's, kind of an overhook by Logan, looking to get to an ankle pick or throw by. He's in on that two-on-one arm tie-up. Davis is against Karsten's, but the long body of Karsten's is able to defend it so far. Logan trying to get some kind of snap down or turn. Tried an ankle or a heel pick. Missed it with a little foot sweep. Back in the middle, 1:16 on the clock, a 2-1 score in favor of Logan Davis here in this matchup at 1:20. Karsten's doing a nice job battling and using his length and larger body size to defend Logan's shots. Hard for Logan to get in over that long reach of Karsten's there, Aaron. Now he's in on another snap down, slide by, go behind. Got the 2-on-1 with that Marinetti. Now he's got the tilt, the Oki tilt going for back points. He's getting his count. He should get a 5 swipe there, and he got it. 3 near fall points, so that builds the lead nicely to a 7-1 score here with 40 seconds to go in this second period. Karsten's trying to tripod, get a stand, get an escape. Logan gives it to him with 35 seconds to go. And now we got 30 on the clock, and it's a 7-2 score here in favor of Logan Davis. Logan continuing to keep the pressure. Nice snap down. Karsten stumbles off to the side, keeps that from a takedown. Nice shot by Logan Davis. Quick blast double. Go behind for a 2-point takedown. To lead 9-2, finishing out the last 10 seconds of this second period here. Got him all bellied out. Exactly what we need him to continue to attack and keep scoring points. Karsten's trying to tripod for one more escape, not able to get it.
Gamma Wrestling at 1:20. Tigers up 10-0. Davis right now up 9-2. And it was Logan Davis, Michael Olson, and Brody Ignashevsky that won Rumble on the Red titles.
Yep, that was a fun tournament back to back to back. 3 in a row, all 113, 120, 126. Three champs, and that was pretty impressive. And that really boosted our team score. And right behind that, we had Avon Wasmon took third at 113. And Nick Corman took fifth. So a lot of points scored with those guys there. A lot of attacks there by Logan in the third period as he got his escape and then went right to work on his attack on his feet. A couple of shots, duck under attempts, and then right into a kind of like a little leg sweep and kind of a far ankle pick there for the takedown. He's up 12-2 now. Got the major with a minute 15 to go in this third period. Karsten's in a tripod stand trying to get another escape, trying to take those points away, and Logan will cut him loose. They're on their feet, 12-3, a 9-point lead for Logan, a comfortable lead to keep that major, but he can't give up a takedown here or he would lose that major. Right now he needs to stay on the attack and not let Karsten's come to him. There's that blast double again. He's in on a deep. Now he changes it to a single. Nice little foot sweep. Dumps him to the mat. Picks up another 2 takedown here. He's got a 14-3 lead. Now he's looking for a cradle. Goes heavy on that cross-face tie-up. Trying to drive the head to the knee. 35 seconds to go in this third period. Now he elevates and he's looking for a tilt. Kind of a leg turk here. He's got to walk that hand forward to get his shoulders turned. 14-3 lead. That's 11. If he's getting the count right now, he gets 3 more and he will have his tech fall, I believe. It'll be just 1 short. He's got to let him go and turn him one more time. There, he cut him loose. Cut him loose for 1. We got 15 seconds on the mat or on the clock. He's up 17-4. He needs 1 takedown in these final 15 seconds for that tech fall. And Karsten, I'm sure, is going to be running. Logan's got to really attack here and go after it hard here. Try to pick up that extra team point. He's in on an over tie-up, and now he's got Karsten's trying to dump him. 2 seconds. He's not going to be able to pick up that tech fall, but a great match by Logan Davis to get that major 17-4 victory there, springing his Alberti team up to a 14-0 lead.
So 3 weight classes in the books right now. Albertli in good shape, like John mentioned. 14-0 Tigers. We want to mention in girls hockey across town at City Arena. 10 minutes left in the second period. 3-0 Albertli over Winona.
Nice, nice.
We now wrestle at 1:26.
up for the Elberly Tigers is Avon Wasmon, the senior, as I mentioned, had a great rumble on the red when he dropped down to 113. He got third in the same bracket as Mike Olson was and when he won it. And he's been doing a nice job for us in that 2026. He even started out some of the matches at 32. Nice double leg shot by Avon Wasmon for early takedown over Jaden Jurley, the ninth grader out of Owatonna. Jurley's a record 12-16 on the year, and Avon's record currently right now sits at 31-8. Very solid performer here for the Elberly Tigers, Avon Wasmon. State tournament appearance a couple times in a row. Very good little wrestler. Got his arm bar, his patent move to turn him, and he's going to turn him for back points. He's getting the count right now. He'll get three for sure. Maybe, nope, not able to hold him solid. He rotates back, but that's a three near fall. Take a nice 5-0 lead early in this first period. Jurley comes from a big wrestling name out of Owatonna there. His dad was a real solid wrestler for the Owatonna Indians back then, prior to being Huskies. I believe his dad runs a lot of the youth practices up there for the team now. And Jaden's competed against Ryan Collins last year at 106 a couple times in ninth grade league and JV. So solid little wrestler, and he'll be big things out of him down the road for Owatonna. Avon continues to work his tie-ups on those wrists, looking for a tilt, not able to tip him over. 45 seconds on the clock. It's 5-0 lead for Avon Wasmon as he continues to work hard trying to get points here on this young wrestler from Owatonna. Out of bounds they go, 33 ticks on the clock. Back to the center we go.
Okay, we're wrestling at 126. Tigers in control early, winning the first three matches. They're up 14-0 as they wrestle at 126.
Avon goes right to his armbar chop. He chops that arm and hooks it up elbow deep on that armbar. Now looking to get a turn in there. He's running it again. He may get something here. He's got him going. He's got him going over. This one might be tight. Avon's got it tight. He's got time. He's got 15 clicks on the clock. He's got definite back points here. It's going to be an 8-0 lead for sure. Hopefully more if he can get the fall. Jurley does a nice job of bridging out of that and fighting back off his back. But that not before he gave up the three near fall by Avon Wasmon. A major decision already in the first period. Avon needs to keep grinding. Owatonna's choice, and they're going to go on their feet. In the second period here, Avon needs to keep his attack going. Keep building those points for sure, working for a tech, and hopefully getting something solid that he can count it as a fall. He's in on his favorite tie-up here for his fireman's carry, and the Owatonna wrestler is running. Nice snap down, go behind off that tie-up. Avon took him right down for another two-point takedown. Now leads at 10-0, right on the edge of the mat here. He's continuing to grind on that armbar tie-up. He's got it hooked up again, but he's got to circle him in, or he's going to get out of bounds when he tries to turn him there, Aaron. As you notice, he's wiggling him back into the middle.
He's trying.
Potentially dangerous call as Avon's hand slipped forward on their shoulder. Kind of a chicken wing hold, they call that. And it's hard on the shoulder. They stop it right away, which is good. Another chop breakdown by Avon, looking for his hooks, and he's got it in already. 120 on the clock. He's looking for that far wrist to tie it up. Maybe even a double arm bar. Looks like he's going to get it tied up. Avon's been tough on that arm bar since I remember him in elementary school. And he's got a lot of time here with that lockup. Now he needs to get it nice and tight, take his time, and just sit through here hard, and he should get the fall with it. Should get the fall if he can hang on to both hands. He's got him tight. He's got him tight. Kid's trying to bridge out of it. Nice fight by the Owatonna wrestler, Jurley, but Avon's really locking that double bar arm tight. Tighter and tighter as he brings him down. There he flops over again. And the ref's trying to go side to side. And there's a fall for Avon Wasmon. Picks up the fall again. Jumping the Tigers out to a 20-0 lead here early in this matchup.
20-0 off the Hanson Tire Service scoreboard. Aaron Warman, John Hanson with you in Elberly tonight for Big Nine Conference Wrestling. And John, I have to ask you, before the matchup tonight, they had a moment of silence. Was there really
a sad story here. I didn't hear what happened. I don't know if it was a heart attack or what type of deal went down, but Paul Smudio had been all the way through to his final days a very staunch reporter of Elberly Wrestling. Okay. Had two boys wrestle in the program, and if there was ever a wrestling event, Paul was there, and he's going to be missed.
Yeah, they had a moment of silence. I just wanted to make sure we recognize that during our broadcast.
And,
of course,
that.
Our thoughts and prayers go out to his family.
Yep.
We wrestle here at 132, and who we got on the mat?
We got Brody Ignaszewski, the sophomore for the Albany Tigers, also a Rumble champ, as we talked earlier, at 126, looking very solid here. He is going up against Parker Casas from Otana, a sophomore, a 3-11 record. He's a solid JV wrestler, but obviously not doing that good up on the varsity. And Brody's record now stands at 28-7. He's wrestled 132, 126. I believe he's even got a few matches in at 138 early in the season when we bumped him around. He's got a nice ball and chain tie up, and he goes to a high shoulder turn, puts Parker on his back. He's got him tight. He's got him real tight, and he may get the fall, and he does in 57 seconds. Another six-point fall for the Albany Tigers to jump out 26-0 in this duel here against Otana.
138 coming up in just a moment. We'll take a timeout. Tiger Wrestling on Kate.
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or a fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you save money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. At this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Sephoric Insurance Agency, stop in and see us next to the channel between Bridge and Main or online at sephoric.com.
Aaron Worm and John Hansen with you off the Hansen Tire Service scoreboard. 26-0. Albert Lee over Owatonna. Off to a fast start as we now wrestle at 138.
This is where you start seeing some of the solid wrestlers coming back for Owatonna. Michael Renardi, a junior out there, 26-6 on the year. Very solid, strong wrestler. Going up against Nick Corman, sophomore for the Albany Tigers. And Nick Corman's record right now is 29-12. So very evenly matched up record-wise wrestlers. Sophomore and a junior here and doing battle. And Nick darn near had a nice two-on-one. Oh, there was a nice outside single. And Renardi went for his patent headlock move, and Nick slipped right out of it, right to a go-behind takedown. He leads 2-0 early here in this matchup at 138. Renardi, as I said, very physical, strong wrestler, and coming up through the ranks, always got to be aware of his headlock. Nick's doing a nice job, wrist tie-ups underneath, trying to grind, keep him all bellied out, flattened on the mat, 55 seconds on the clock, and we get a stalemate call by the official as neither wrestler was gaining any ground. We might have blood on the Otana wrestler. We do. Looks like a bit his lip, a little bloody lip. A little blood on the mat, and Nick Corman will get a little breather here. Hopefully talking to the coaches, get some information here. Early in this first period, a 2-0 lead for Nick Corman.
Since we got a second in-game recap or in-match recap brought to you by the Pizza Ranch here in Albert Lee. If you're just joining us, at 106, Ryan Collins won by major decision, 17-5. At 113, Michael Olson wins by fall. At 120, Logan Davis wins by major decision, 17-4. At 126, Avon Wasmon wins by fall. And the last matchup we had at 132, Brody Ignaszewski also winning by fall, 57 seconds in. Tigers in control off the Hansen Tire Service scoreboard, 26-0.
Get ready to start as the blood's all cleaned up and then back to work they go. And Renardi hit trying to get a sit-out head pull. He's a dangerous wrestler with that power in his upper body. And he gets an escape out of that as Nick was able to defend off that head pull for a reversal going to his back. And so back on their feet again, 2-1 score in favor of Nick. And now in on a shot is Renardi. Nick defends that nice and gets back to his two-on-one tie-up, looking for his takedown off that two-on-one. Goes to the single, misses it. Renardi brings his head and snaps him to the mat. And they're out of bounds with 20 seconds to go here. 2-1 lead for Nick Corman in this early matchup here at 138. Both wrestlers very solid, very good position, staying great stance. A lot of what we call hand battling out there, hand fighting, maneuvering for position. Now Renardi seems to be a little bit more of the aggressor. Whoa, nice shot by Nick there as he caught that ankle as they were going out of bounds and just about dumped Renardi on his back, but ran out of mat space there. 2-1, 5 seconds ticking away to end this first period. Neither wrestler looking for any advantage right now. We head to the second, Aaron, and it will be Renardi's choice, and coach wants him down. Coach there, former wrestler for Owatonna, Derek Johnson, a very solid wrestler in his day. One of the nastiest half Nelsons I ever remember watching
really?
A kid wrestle. He could crank some heads on that. And there's that sit-out turn by Rinaldi again. Nick does a nice job of tying up the wrist and bellying him out, staying back with his head, not giving him that head pull turn. And got him all bellied out with that nice deep waist grinding on that wrist tie-up. Rinaldi trying to pick hands on it. We might get another stalemate call if neither wrestler is able to improve on this. Good job by Nick driving forward now, trying to roll that wrist underneath, and he's going to call stalling on the Alberti Tiger, not being able to improve that position. And we got 1:33 as they break and get a fresh start here for Rinaldi on the bottom and Nick on top. 2-1 lead for Mr. Corman. Tried a quick little roll, but Nick was ready for it. Stopped him and flattened him right back out. Now he's got his cross wrist going, which is a little better attack. He can get out to the side and try and work some tilts off of that, take away from that stall call. And again, when you look at this, Aaron, it's like, how do you call a stall? And I get it. I'm not defending that we weren't maybe stalling in that situation, but the other wrestler's not improving either.
No, not
so
at all.
So when you got two solid wrestlers that defend and attack evenly, I don't think you should call a stall. They're wrestling. Now he's warning the bottom wrestler, or I'm not sure, he didn't really signal it, but then they go out of bounds, 55 seconds left to go, and back to the middle. Oh, they did get a warning on both wrestlers now, as he did warn Rinaldi. And sometimes, you know, the emphasis has been with officials over the last couple of years is to push action more, try and get more excitement for the crowd and the, you know, everybody involved. So they will call those stall calls quicker. And it does force the wrestlers to, I don't know, I guess try something, you know, move, you know. Sometimes you got to recognize who's competing. When you got two solid wrestlers and they're both working, because now Nick might have to get careless and get outside. Well, then that gives openings for him to reverse, or vice versa. He might have to get careless to move on the bottom and get turned on his back. So I don't always agree with it when you got really good wrestlers that are just hardly competing, especially when you look at college wrestling. This right now would be great college wrestling by Mr. Corman.
Yep.
He's building riding time. He's controlling that guy. He's doing everything he can to not let him score. Why is that stalling? It's not, but sometimes they push that issue. But, you know, and that's what the biggest difference I see in college and in high school. And Nick Corman right now is doing perfect college wrestling. He just built 2 whole minutes of riding time.
So in college, how many points would he got for that?
Okay, in the end of the match, if one wrestler has more than a minute advantage of his riding versus the other guy's riding, it's a bonus 1 point.
Nice.
And
okay.
it can decide a match. Like right now, say Nick's got 1 minute and 20 seconds, and Rinaldi has 45 seconds. If he would ride Nick out this whole period, he would have more than a minute riding, and it would tie this match 2-2. Instead, Corman decides it on his own and gets an escape. He's back on his feet, a 3-1 score here. Rinaldi's got his head snapped down. Nick needs to be very careful here. Rinaldi's got some good, solid motion and movement from his feet when he's controlling the head. We've got 1:24 on the clock. It's a 3-1 lead for Nick Corman. Nice job clearing his head out from underneath, going right to work on that 2-on-1 tie-up. Rinaldi doesn't want it, breaks away on their feet. 1:13 to go here, 3-1 match. Both wrestlers have a warning for stalling. This is where Corman has to make sure he's circling to the middle and always attacking and not letting him come to him and backing him out. There, nice job. Gets his butt to the middle, and then shoots the Otana wrestler out of bounds, making it look like he's being the aggressor. He's staying in there to compete. That's a good way to keep that stall call away from you.
You know, and you mentioned with stalling, too, when you have two guys that you use the word, you know, working hard out there, and a couple of strong guys like these guys are, even though there's not what you call a lot of movement out there, it's not that they're still not trying. It's just we're not seeing guys, again, getting flipped over and so forth. So there's still action going on, but visibly it doesn't look like a lot's going
exactly. on. Exactly, and that's where I have a disagreement in the emphasis of high school referees to push action.
Yep.
Yes, I agree. You want more excitement. You want more action, but you got to understand the competition that's out there.
Yep.
I mean, it's different if one guy is dominating a guy and he's just laying there holding him.
Yep.
Okay. This guy is defending everything Nick tries, and at the same time, Nick's trying. I mean, it's like they are both working really hard, but they're just neither one can get an advantage because they're that evenly matched. A little bit of action on the edge of the mat there as Rinardi tried a little throw, and Nick kind of countered it with a little sag of his hips. And, oh, nice little stuff the head and go behind attempt here by Nick Gorman. It's 30 seconds to go, and he's got Rinardi's head stuffed, and he's got the ankle pull on the backside. He's got to keep breaking that tie on the leg by Rinardi as Rinardi's hanging on tight to Nick's leg. Now Rinardi breaks away and gets back to his feet. 3-1, 18 seconds to go. Nick needs to circle and take that stall call away. Circle in. There's a throw attempt, and I knew it was coming. There was a stall call on Nick Corman as Rinardi tried to show him out of bounds. Now it's 3-2. He can't give up any more stall call. He's got to stay in the middle. Circle to the base. Throws by that headlock attempt by Rinardi for a takedown to finish on top. 5-2. Great match by two great wrestlers.
Now, Rinardi really had, you know, no choice. He had to go for some kind of move to get a couple of points.
Exactly. He, when you're in those final seconds, and that's why that is one great high school matchup right there, because they're working their tails off to compete against each other, and they're so evenly matched that, you know, there wasn't a lot of action there, so you'd say, well, then neither one really did a lot. Well, okay, scoring-wise, no, they didn't. But wrestling-wise, they did a heck of a lot. You know, it's just, it's one of those deals where you can see two matchups like that, and it's real solid wrestling, so.
So Nick Corman wins his matchup 5-2 over Rinardi at 138 off the Hanson Tire Service scoreboard. It's all Tigers 29-0. A lot of matches yet to go. We now wrestle at 145.
And out there at 145, we have Maverick Attic, the sophomore for the Albert Lee Tigers. He is taking on Jack Sorensen, the sophomore from Otana. Sorensen, a 12-17 record. And there was a nice single leg shot by Maverick. He had it up in the air, but he wasn't able to compete or complete it as Sorensen, the Otana wrestler, did kind of like a back heel trip, the throw off a whizzer, just about put Maverick on his back, and he had to bail out and give up that takedown. Early lead for Sorensen, you know, with a 2-0 lead off that takedown by that throw. And Maverick's Attic is 17-18 on the year, doing a great job wrestling 45-152, kind of gets bounced around depending on where we need him. Early stall call against Maverick as he's all clammed up on the bottom there. Now it looks like we got blood on somebody. The referee stops it with 1:05 in this first period. A 2-0 lead for the Owatonna wrestler, Jack Sorensen. Right away, against Maverick as he was just kind of bellied out. And now there is a case where he wasn't just defending what the top guy doing was. He was curling up and stopping any action from possibly happening, and that is a difference. So yeah, he's working hard not to get turned or give something up, but in a manner of just clamming up, not wrestling, not just defending moves, but not even letting moves
happen.
Correct.
Yeah. No, that's more of an obvious stalling
exactly.
Call.
I'm all for that because that entices our wrestler. Hey, you got to move. You got to wrestle. You know, you got to compete here. And a quick breakdown there by Sorensen, and Maverick doing a nice job peeling hands this time, trying to keep his base and get to his feet. Got the wrist tie up. Now he's coming up. And a tilt there. Now looking for a switch. Look, and he gets the escape. Otana wrestler didn't want to give up the reversal, so he just cut him loose off that switch attempt by Maverick Attic. It's now 2-1 with 40 seconds to go in this first period. And they battle on their feet again here, looking for a takedown. Head tie up by the Otana wrestler Sorensen, now looking for 2-on-1. Maverick peels out of that. Maverick more of a space wrestler, Aaron. He doesn't really like to be tied up, wants to shoot from space away from the tie-ups, whereas Sorensen looks like he wants to get in close and do that hand-fighting battle on his head and arms. 20 seconds to go. Maverick needs to try and pick up a takedown here to take a lead here in this first period. And Sorensen doing everything to stop his shots, going to the head, heavy head pounds. Tie-ups on the head, trying to keep Maverick away from his shots. Final 6 seconds ticking away, and now a 2-on-1 attempt by Sorensen. Maverick circles out of that. We end it 2-1 lead for Jack Sorensen from Owatonna.
Gamma Wrestling at 145. Tigers have won the first six matchups. Again, they're up 29-0. in this Interstate 35 rival matchup against Owatonna. Albert Lea again 7-1 in the Big Nine Conference, tied with Faribault for first. Owatonna right behind those two teams at 6-2.
And again, Maverick takes the down position to start that second period, Aaron, and coaches wanted him to get down and try and score another escape to tie this match up. Darn near did it right off the whistle as he got up to his feet, but now he's gotten bellied out again. Now back to his base, right on the edge of the mat, probably out of bounds, and that's where they'll be in a fresh start for both wrestlers back in the middle. 1:38 to go here in this second period, a 2-1 lead for Sorensen. And as you mentioned about that rivalry and that matchup in the Big Nine, it's anybody's game right now. You know, we talked about it after we left Faribault and Northfield matchup. We're like, well, after Northfield did us a favor and beat Faribault, we're like, okay, now we're Mayo fans, because if Mayo could knock off Faribault, then it becomes a two-way race between us and Mayo, and with only one loss each, but we have the head-to-head.
So would there be co-champions, or would they go by?
No, they would go the head-to-head. The only way that they would probably not go head-to-head, well, they can't really go head-to-head when you have a three-way tie, when you have this one beat that one, you know, then it's hard to, you know. Like if Faribault stays in the mix, we're in trouble because they've got us on head-to-head. But if they can get beat by Mayo, then they would have two losses, as Northfield does, because Northfield lost to Mayo, and they also lost us. So it'll be just down to, oh, there's that stall call against Maverick, which legitimately it's due there, and that's a point for the Owatonna wrestler. He's up 3-1 now off that stall call point. Now Maverick, oh, and then we got a blood or something here. Yep, red's bleeding out of the mouth again, and it's all over Maverick's back. And we got about 30 seconds to go in this second period. A 3-1 score in favor of Owatonna off that stall call that was just called there, and Maverick needs to get something going.
Now, I was told when it comes to this matchup that this has gone back for a long time. Tigers in Owatonna, Paul Earhart was the coach. Dick Black, the coach of Owatonna, is that where it kind of started?
That started there, and then it transitioned right into Neil Score and Scott Davis. Well, a little bit of Black, I think, was still there, and then Scott Davis, and then right into Larry Goodnature and Scott Davis. And the rivalry hasn't been quite as hectic or as strong or whatever recently because of the change in coaching staff up in the Owatonna Husky room, plus here in Albert Lea recently too. But they now have, oh, nice switch by Maverick, as he's going to get a reversal here to tie this match all up in the final seconds of the second period here. Now Sorensen gets to his feet. We got 10 seconds to go. And it's a 3-3 match here going 10 seconds as Maverick finally got his hips out and got moving there. Start the period with 10 seconds to go. Sorensen trying to get a point here in the final seconds. Maverick does a nice job, picks an ankle, brings him down flat, rides him out here for these final 10 seconds. We head to the third. Sorensen will go down.
Is it fair to say that maybe Owatonna in recent memory hasn't been as strong as maybe historically?
Yeah, as historically as, and I think a lot of that has to do with a lot of changeover in their coaching staff, not only in the high school room, but also in their junior high room. Long-time junior high coaches that were there forever, Larry Hovden and Dick Nelson, I think was the other guy or something like that, but they wrestled, they competed in that junior high room for them, coaching for years and years, and just kind of had a nice tradition being built. And they stepped away, and then also, like I say, Davis is gone, and then there's been probably four or five different changeover of coaches in the last 6-7 years up there. Maverick in on a leg right. Oh, got a little high, Aaron, and he got reversed by Jack Sorensen to take a 5-3 lead with a minute 20 to go. Now it's up to Maverick to get moving on that bottom position and try and score and get this match going right back in his favor. But again, the stall calls could weigh heavy right now as Maverick has one plus a caution and a point. If Sorensen keeps him bellied out where he don't even come up, oh, it's going to be the top guy because he had double wrist tie up, laying parallel. Good call by the official Rick Rude there. He definitely was just looking to keep him flat, not trying to turn. So now it's a minute two to go with Maverick getting a fresh start on the bottom position, trailing 5-3 against Jack Sorensen here from Owatonna. Somewhat of a stand-up attempt there by Maverick, but nice tie-up by by Sorensen, and now he bellies him out with a back wrist tie up there. Maverick's got to keep going hard here in this final 45 seconds. There is a tilt attempt by Sorensen. Good job on his part to get out to the side here and attack so he doesn't get that stall call. Maverick needs to get his knees under him and get moving here, Aaron, in these final 35 seconds. He's now fighting that tie up underneath, but he's got to get up on his knees to stay that stall call away from him here. Coach is encouraging him, and the whole team bench is trying to get him up and moving here. And now he's got his knees up, but not able to get anything moving here. Final 20 seconds. Sorensen doing a great job here in tying up the wrist and working side to side, keeping that pressure, keeping Maverick all bellied out. Final 10 seconds ticking. It doesn't look good for Mr. Attic here in this final matchup here. Clock's going to tick away for a 5-3 victory for Jack Sorensen of Owatonna.
So Owatonna picks up their first win here at 145. Tigers still in control in this duel, 29-3. Albert Lee on top will take a quick timeout on Kate. At Broadway Home Design, they pride themselves in offering the best countertops available in the business. Quality Quartz countertops by Cambria top their list. Family-owned, American-made, and a full lifetime transferable warranty are just three reasons that set it on top of their competitors. Visit their showroom at 128 Broadway Avenue South in Albert Lee to see the many colors and designs offered, including the new Inverness Collection. Cambria Quartz surfaces require no sealing or maintenance and will not disappoint. Visit CambriaUSA.com or your local premier dealer here in Albert Lee. We now wrestle at 152, 29-3. Tigers on top. Hand things back over to John Hansen.
And on the mat for the Tigers is Maverick's twin brother Mason, the sophomore for Albert Lee Tigers. He is wrestling against Mason Bloom, the senior from Owatonna. Bloom has an 8-2 record going into this, and Mason's Attic is 16-18, very similar to his brother Maverick. Again, Mason's wrestling anywhere from 52 to 60. I believe he's even wrestled a couple at 70. So he's been filling in for us up top when we've had the injury to Luke Moeller here, our senior, sitting beside us, and also Derek McMillan with an injury and some eligibility issues. So Derek's back for us now. We'll be wrestling at 170 or 182 tonight. These wrestlers look pretty evenly matched out here, Aaron, both about the same size. No one's got leverage or length over anybody, and both of them just doing a lot of hand fighting, push-pulling, trying to get position here to get a takedown here. Mason's got a really nice arm drag if he can get to it here. Hopefully he can get a takedown to kind of get a nice lead started in this first period. Both of them tying up fingers and wrists, head, kind of a couple battering rams out there. 40 seconds on the clock as both wrestlers still maneuvering for position. 30 seconds to go, neither one getting any advantage in their tie-ups. Now Mason has that arm tie-up a little bit, now rotated back by the Owatonna wrestler. Both of them in on the wrist, hard ties and whatnot. There's that arm drag attempt, but not getting it as the Owatonna wrestler steps right through it. Back on their feet, 15 seconds to go. Neither wrestler with any advantage in their tie-ups here. Looks like we'll be heading into the second period, a 0-0 score. Unless something happens quick here in these five. Oh, nice attempt. Oh, is he going to get it? Oh, so close. Owatonna wrestler did a heck of a job circling the wagon, so to speak, there, keeping his hips from being covered by Mason Attic, as he had that nice arm drag, and it was real close to getting that takedown in the final 10 seconds there.
You mentioned Luke Moeller not wrestling, but we got to give him credit. He's the music guy tonight.
The music man here, yep.
Even though he messed up that last intro. Was that your fault?
Oh, 100%.
100%, okay.
100%. That's going to upset Mason because he really likes his runout song. It's the only country runout song on the list. He's talking about it earlier, saying best runout song they got. Looks like we got a little equipment issue here for the Owatonna wrestler, as his elbow pad was looked at by the officials in the break there of that first period. And I don't know if it had some metal in it or something that he couldn't wear it. So they went to a different elbow pad here for him going into this second period. Mason Attic's choice. He will take the down position to start this 0-0 match at 152 pounds. Got a caution on the Owatonna wrestler not getting into the proper position from the top. Get another start by the officials here. And it's a 29-3 team score. And right to his feet and a quick trying to run away, but now the Owatonna wrestler, oh, runs him right out of bounds there on a kind of a single leg tie-up as Mason just about got away.
They got cameras on their side of the mat. Ran into those.
Yeah, he about took him right through the camera station over there. That's our live stream that the high school sets up for the people that can't attend, including our former head coach, Larry Goodnature, vacationing in New Mexico. He was asking earlier in text messages, where can I watch, where can I watch? And we sent him the live stream link, so hopefully he's tuned in to us right now. So
you can watch the stream and listen to us. Get the
There's
best of both
arm
worlds.
Drag by Mason Attic. He's got to bring him to the mat, and they're not going to get it as they go out of bounds. But the one-point escape for – oh. We had 1 point fleeing the mat there maybe as he ran out of bounds. Thinking that's what they call because Mason Attic has the one-point escape for a 1-0 lead, and he just picked up another point there off that scramble by the edge there, Aaron. I believe it was fleeing the mat on the Owatonna wrestler. For that extra penalty point for Mason Attic. He now has a 2-0 lead with a minute 10 to go in this second period. Both wrestlers again tying up the wrist, circling back and forth, just trying to get position, maneuvering here. This would be a big win for the Tigers if Mason can pull this one off in this weight here to give us a little boost in our middle weights. There's a shot by Bloom driving in. He's got it picked up, but out of bounds they go. 52 seconds left here, and now we're back to the middle. That's one thing Mason Attic has to watch out for when he's trying to tie up that arm drag situation, is he's got to protect those legs, because as he's working those hand tie-ups, he's susceptible to leaving his legs in a position for shots. There's a drag attempt again, and Bloom just sidesteps it in circles. Comes in hard on a shot. Much better sprawl here by Mason Attic this time. He's got his head stuffed, circling, trying to get that ankle around back, trying to circle to it, peel that arm down and get that circle. He's got 20 seconds. He does. He gets around behind for that two-point takedown here. He has a nice 4-0 lead, and he's going right to work for a tilt here. In the final 14 seconds, he's got that far arm dump tie-up on Mason Bloom from Owatonna up top. Final 5 seconds, he's got him all bellied out, working hard on top. He will head to the third period with a 4-0 lead. See what the Owatonna wrestler does for his position. Coach giving him choice. You want to go neutral, you want to go down? And he's going to take the neutral position.
You have a wrestling at 152 off the Hanson Tire Service scoreboard. Tigers in control in this duel, 29-3. And, of course, we broadcast a mat side from the Americana Insurance Press Box.
Bloom, the Owatonna wrestler, hits a hard double shot. Mason Attic sprawls hard and doing the nice job tying up the ankles. The backside of Mason Bloom trying to peel that hand off his leg. Man, it's a stalemate call. Right when Maddock was starting to peel it off, the elderly coaching staff felt bad on that one. They thought he had a chance to score there. 140 to go in this 152-pound matchup here. Mason Attic with a comfortable 4-0 lead. They're on their feet. Bloom hits another hard shot. He's in deep this time. He's got it picked up in the air, and he will dump him down to his back. No back points scored here, but he's got Mason down on the mat. A 4-2 lead for Mason Attic. Bloom, the Owatonna wrestler, he wants to go right back on his feet. He cuts him loose. It's now 5-2. This is where Mason Attic needs to keep wrestling and be offensive and not defensive. The more you wrestle defensively, the more chances you have of this wrestler climbing back into this match. He has to stay on the offense. As they always say, best off defense is a good offense, right?
Yep. Absolutely.
Down to the final minute here. 5-2 lead for Mason Attic over Mason Bloom. Another shot by Mason Bloom from Owatonna. Attic got a much better sprawl this time. He's got his head buried. Now he's peeling the hands, trying to get his go-behind. He's going to look for a drag. Bloom keeps coming back at him, though. Now got his head off to the side. Attic's got to keep that head stuffed. Try and get a go-behind out of this and score here. Stalemate call by the official. Final 31 seconds to go in this period. Bloom working hard to try and get back into this match, trailing by 3. He needs something to take him to his back if he can, and Attic's job right now is just to stay in the middle and defend and keep wrestling through every contact here. Keep wrestling. Circle back to the middle. There's a snap down by Mason Attic. He might get a takedown out of this if he can circle. Clear that hand tie on the leg. He does. He gets a takedown finish in the final 10 seconds here. He will lead this one 7-2, hopefully, if he can ride him out. And he does, as he looks for a turn. Almost got a turn. A nice win by Mason Attic, 7-2.
32-3, Albert Lee on top. Let's take a quick second and recap things if you're just joining us tonight here on Kate Radio. In-game recap or in-match recap brought to you by the Pizza Ranch of Albert Lee. Their buffet offers pizza, chicken, salad bar, and dessert for carryout or delivery. Pizza Ranch in the Northbridge Mall in Albert Lee. At 106, Ryan Collins won by major decision, 17-5. At 113, Michael Olson won by fall. At 120, Logan Davis won major decision, 17-4. At 126, Avon Wasmon won by fall. At 132, Brody Ignashevsky won by fall. At 138, Nick Corman won 5-2. Tigers lost at 145, Maverick Attic losing 5-3. And Mason Attic just winning at 152, 7-2, 32-3. Tigers on top. We wrestle at 160.
And Owatonna's stalwart number one wrestler here out there for him, ranked number one or two, I believe, in the state, Cale Robb, younger brother of Peyton Robb, who's doing an outstanding job in college, number one ranked at 157 for Nebraska.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And Cale is a very good technician. He's already picked up three takedowns against two of the escapes by Tegan, which were given to him by Cale in under 30 seconds here. We're already a 6-1, well, 6-1. Maybe he got back points here, I'm not sure. But he's up 6-1 with a minute 10 to go in this first period. Cale Robb, very lanky, physical wrestler, quick, really good on his feet, explosive shots, ankle picks, singles. I think he's hit one of each here against Tegan Tolbert already. Tegan, a ninth grader for the Tigers, one of our qualifiers for the ninth grade state, has had to really step into the big boy shoes on varsity for us, wrestling anywhere from 60, 70, 82, as I said, in the absence of Luke with the elbow injury, and then Derek, who now is just finally eligible back with us. But I was glad to see Tegan get the opportunity to go compete in that ninth grade section and get a chance to wrestle kids more his level. And there's a hard armbar turn attempt by Cale Robb, and the official stops it for potentially dangerous, as Tegan's shoulder was getting kind of twisted way over his head. He decides to put him back on his feet, making it a 6-2 score, and in on a hard shot right away. This time Tegan sprawled, but not enough, as he did a little head drag pull out of there and gets another takedown to lead 8-2. 20 seconds to go in this first period. Tegan trying to defend and not give up anything big here against Cale Robb. And the stall call comes as he's clamming up on the bottom big time, not opening up for anything for Robb to get anything on. Final ticks of the first period. It's going to end with an 8-2 score in favor of Cale Robb from Owatonna. I believe Cale is headed to Nebraska also, but in Division II for Nebraska Kearney College.
Okay.
A very top, very competitive college for Division II down there. I think it's probably a smart choice to get him close to his brother, but yet maybe not quite ready for the big-time Division I. But another hard takedown there by Cale Robb, trying to get a cradle locked up against Tegan. He leads 10-2 as they started on their feet in the second period. And Tegan trying to get to his base and come up out of there. Cale Robb riding tight on that deep waist, flattens him right back down. Little bit of a mismatch with his senior. Another stall call against Tegan Tolbers on the bottom for the Albert Lee Tigers. Picks up another point for Cale Robb on top, making it 11-2. As Tegan's doing everything he can to not give up anything major and get dumped or turned here. So hopefully he can keep wrestling hard and not give away any more stall calls, because it can get all the way to a what you call a disqualification. But Robb in on that hard armbar, trying to get a turn here. Slowly tipping Tegan over. He's getting the count here in the final minute, this second period. He's going to get his three-point near fall, maybe more, as Tegan tips over, trying to not lose his shoulders here. It's a very tight hold by Cale Robb here on Tegan Tolbers, trying to push that shoulder down tight. Final 35 seconds to go. And there's a flip by Tegan, trying to fight the other shoulder off, and now he's got tighter and tighter. And a fall for Cale Robb with 30 seconds to go in this second period. Big win for them, as they expected out of him. to get them more points on the board here.
Yeah, right now Owatonna down by 23 points, 32-9. Possible 30 points left. So the Tigers, you know, you talk about bonus points. These are final matches. Just don't get pinned.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Just don't get pinned. I mean, obviously you want wins, but if you don't get pinned, you're going to win this duel without a problem.
Yep. And now we see Derek McMillan coming out at 170. He will be wrestling against Owatonna's R.J. Rinardi, I believe. I think that is... Yep, it's R.J.
Yep.
Rinardi, the younger brother of Michael Rinardi. R.J. Rinardi, a sophomore, 11-16 record on the year. And as I mentioned, Derek, just getting back with us here last week against Northfield and Faribault. I believe his record is 1-1. He beat the Northfield wrestler, a very solid boy, and then got into a, I guess you'd call it a tossing match on their feet against Faribault boy and ended up on the wrong side of one of the tosses and got pinned. But then when those two wrestled each other, the Northfield boy who he beat, beat the Faribault kid who beat him. So as we talked about that toss-up matches
yep.
here and there and everywhere. And yeah, so we've been working on Derek here right now is just to get his conditioning. Nice, great ankle pick there, moved by Derek McMillan. Picks up two takedown, then a potentially dangerous call as he was twisting the ankle and leg a little bit awkwardly there. And he will put him right back on his feet. He wants to get on his feet and do some more damage with his takedowns. Derek can be very explosive. I had the pleasure of coaching him when he was a seventh grader at 138 pounds, and he took a state title in the ninth grade league.
Wow.
Beating a lot of very solid boys. He just was just naturally gifted and just wanted that title, and he went after and got it. And I've also been on the heartbreak side when he's lost his two second matches at sections, one to Landon Johnson from Owatonna when he was an eighth grader to keep him out of the state tournament. And then the other one was to a very solid wrestler from Cannon Falls last year, Derek's junior year. We didn't get the use of Derek his ninth or sophomore year because he moved south to Texas.
That's right.
A fall. Fall in 150 for Derek McMillan as he went to work on a takedown and then got a nice big turn off that ankle pick and right to the shoulder turn. Nice job by Derek McMillan picking up a fall. Six more team points for the Elberly Tigers over R.J. Rinardi, Owatonna.
And with that victory, that's going to officially wrap up this duel. Albert Lee's going to win this
pretty
one.
Pretty much locks it up for us here.
38-9. Want to finish strong and then cheer for Rochester Mayo tomorrow night. Is
exactly,
that the plan?
That's the plan, yep. Kind of like the old college teams where they're sitting there watching, trying to get into the bowl.
Correct, yep.
Get into the college playoffs, yep. Got to cheer for the other teams. When it's out of your hands at a certain point, you can only do what you can do and get your wins, but then you got to cheer someone else to get their win. I didn't quite catch the Owatonna wrestler.
Ryan Feltz.
Ryan Feltz out there, the sophomore for Owatonna. 8-20 record on the year. Caden Enderle from Elberly Tigers, another senior for us. Caden's record on the year is 22-14. Does a nice ankle pick takedown to get a two-point takedown to lead this early in the first period. Now going to work on top, trying to get a leg ride and power half turn here, tilt. Now maybe switching out to a cradle move. Looks like he's tying up there over Ryan Feltz as he has him all bellied out, trying to get something big. At 182, Caden's been bounced around a lot for us, too. He's been wrestling 182, 195, 220. And I think he's now going to settle in here for his final season here as a senior at that 182 mark and try and punch his ticket to state here in a couple weeks. Continuing to work for turns here against this younger wrestler from Owatonna, Feltz. He's now got a power half with his leg crossbody ride, getting back points as he's got him tipped. Not quite yet. Now the count has started. Caden trying to rotate up on top with that power half and that leg ride. Sinking it in deeper and deeper as he gets his hips more on top. Got 25 seconds, hopefully to secure the fall here in this first period. Feltz doing a nice job trying to sit up. Now Caden adjusts his grip. And back to the base. Feltz is able to turn back belly down. Not before the three near fall by Caden. He goes right to work again on that power half. grinding hard on that head of Feltz. Got him tipped and getting more back points as he's turning. Final seconds here. He's going to get. Does he get three? He got three more.
Three, yep.
8-0 lead for Caden Enderle early in this 182-pound matchup here.
And again, want to mention, if you're just jumping back on the broadcast, 38-9, Albert Lea on top. They have clinched this duel against Owatonna. They will improve to 8-1 on the season. As again, we wrestle at 182, 38-9. Tigers on top, and we're in control here, 8-0.
Yeah, and another quick reversal by Caden Enderle, dumping this Owatonna wrestler right to his back, and the fall. 15 seconds into the second period, a big fall for Caden Enderle as he dumps him on his back and pins him, giving the Tigers a now 44-9 lead in this dual meet, headed into the 195-pound matchup.
With a quick timeout, more Tiger wrestling coming up next on KMOX.
Dust, dirt, and allergens are always looming, and even the cleanest of homes. Minimize their presence in your home with Aero Hyperallergenic Soft Flooring from Mohawk. From its surface to attached premium cushion, Aero won't absorb any moisture, helping prevent the growth of allergens. It also releases dust, dirt, and pet dander more easily when vacuumed. Aero has no VOCs or odor and is latex-free. That's right, no new carpet smell. Visit Floors for You in Ellendale today to experience pure peace of mind with Aero Hypoallergenic Soft Flooring.
So we wrestle here at, is it 195?
195, yep.
Okay, they have 220 on the board, but we're wrestling at 195. Tigers up 44-9, and John, who do we have here at, again, 195?
Out there for the Tigers is Evan Schroeder. Evan is a sophomore. Also one of those wrestlers that kind of got thrown into our mix this season because of the open spots. He's wrestled anywhere from 95 to 20. I don't know if he, I think he might have wrestled 82 a couple times, but he's been doing a heck of a job for us. He battles hard. I just like his fight, and he's only going to gain experience more and more against looking at these two. Evan's shorter, a little bit more portly built versus a nice, tall, strong, big sophomore there from Owatonna and Blake Fitcher, physically built. And but I've seen these matchups before, and I've seen Evan pull it out. So I don't take him out of any matchup here. There's a nice low single by Fitcher, and Evan tried to do a duck under roll through out of it, but not able to do it. Takedown for Fitcher to take a 2-0 lead in this 195 matchup. Fitcher, a very solid wrestler, sophomore, as I said, 23-9 on the year. And Evan Schroeder's record is 6-14. Couple of those wins have been big ones in dual meet to secure some wins for the Tigers in their duels up at Eden Prairie in a dual meet against Wilmer. He pulled off a big headlock fall over a very solid big boy at 220. Back to the middle of the mat as they go out of bounds, and Evan's in the down position trailing 2-0. After that ankle pick takedown by Fitcher, got him flattened out. Evan trying to maneuver in position, not give up any more back points here. Got to get to his base, build up his knees, and not stay bellied out down there. Top wrestlers riding parallel, though, not getting out and really attacking anything big, so I don't know that they could really call stalling either way here right now. There's kind of a short sit attempt by Evan, but bellied out again, and the top wrestler just on two wrist tie-ups. Again, I don't know. There's the stall call against us. Oh, that's a second one already? 100% what just happened. And that was a point against us there from the referee when the top guy hasn't gotten out to the side once. I don't understand that call.
Well, they haven't
given
him a point.
It, though.
Oh, was it already 2-0?
Yeah, because he had a takedown on us. So
they didn't give him the point.
They didn't give him the point, but he signaled the point, but I'm like, that was the first stall call, so I don't know how that could have been a point. But Owatonna wrestler takes a down position, does a quick front roll, and gets an escape on Evan there in the first 5 seconds. Back on their feet, 3-0 lead for the Owatonna wrestler. Actually, best position for Evan right here is on his feet. 2-on-1 tie-up by the Owatonna wrestler. Evan battles out of that. Stays in good position, stays in the mat here, doing a lot of hand fighting and hand battling. Moving his feet, not giving his feet planted for those quick ankle picks. And Fitcher trying to stay low and get a shot. And Evan wants to be in that tie-up. He likes that little throw-by attempt. He missed it there, didn't quite get the wrist. Fitcher able to back out of it. Now doing some fakes on his shots, trying to score takedowns here. Shot attempt by Evan Schroeder, which is good because he does have that stall call. He's in there tight on that leg, but now he spins through, comes back out in front, facing the wrestler. Nice job as he just about got dumped there. But he does a great job rotating through, now circling, trying to stay in front, not give away the go-behind takedown here. And the wrestler does able to maneuver around for 2 points for Mortana. Blake Fitcher picks up a 5-0 lead now after that takedown. 45 seconds to go in this second period. Evan needs to stay on his base and keep moving down there to keep away those stall calls. Again, the top wrestler just did a ball and chain ride, chopping, hanging on to wrists. There's a tilt attempt. A couple swipes. That'll be a 2-point count for the Ortona wrestler off that tilt. Now a 7-0 lead with 25 seconds to go in this period. Moving into this final 20 seconds of this second period. Evan needs to get back to his base, but the top wrestler laying parallel, not doing anything on top. There, Evan got to his base, coming up, sitting around, trying to do a roll. Top wrestler flattens him out again. Fitcher hanging on to that 7-0 lead here late in the second period at 195. Evan's going to go in the down position. He was signaling to the coaches he wanted to try from his feet, but they thought this might be a better place for him to score and not give up any more points for a major, which is not a bad idea. But now an armbar situation getting developed here as Fitcher's got Evan's arm tied up and looking to get a turn here. He's spinning hard. He's got him going over, and he's getting tighter and tighter on that armbar. Needs to keep circling and keep his elbow down, but not able to do it. Fitcher drives it over hard. He's got him in a tough spot here. Evan doing everything he can to fight. Trying to stay off his back for the fall, not able to do it. Fitcher picks up the fall for Ortona over Evan Schroeder.
Yeah, long time to have to fight from your back there. 44-15.
Yep.
So Fitcher with the victory. Again, Tigers still in control in his Big Nine Conference matchup. And we do have to pay kudos to Paul Dunn in the mic tonight.
Paul does a great job.
I
love having Paul on that mic. He does a great job, and it's exciting to listen to, and I love hearing him announce. It's just real cool to see him giving those kind of call-outs. These guys can't do anything but boost their adrenaline when they get out there and hear that kind of call-out. Patrick, good to see him back on the mat after a shoulder injury against New Prague, where his shoulder popped out when he wrestled the number two ranked kid in the state, Joey Novak. Actually, number one ranked in AA, I guess it was, thinking Max Minnelli from Waconia, but he's in AAA. So, yeah, Joey's a very solid wrestler, headed to a D1 school out in Wyoming, I believe.
Correct.
And got in on a nice double and kind of dropped us right on our shoulder. Little unnecessary for a guy of that caliber wrestling a first-year wrestler, but Patrick's one of them kids that just keeps battling. He's been hanging around the room and getting better, and now he's got his shoulder back in good shape, and he gets to compete tonight here in front of the hometown crowd. I wish I'd have had Patrick 2 or 3 years ago.
So this is his first year being out?
First-year wrestler, yep. He might have wrestled way back in youth, but I'm not sure, but he hasn't wrestled any of his high school years, and he's just a physical specimen, and I haven't seen a kid that works any harder. He just goes and goes and goes, and he's in good shape, and he can battle. His biggest detriment is he doesn't understand always position when he's out there wrestling. So, but he will compete, and he's doing a great job hand fighting right now. There's a nice hard snap down by Patrick. Go behind for a takedown here to lead 2-0 with 35 seconds to go. Ankle pick, drive forward, flatten him out, get him all bellied out, working on that wrist, trying to get a turn. Great to see Patrick doing this hard. Oh, and then he almost got flipped over as he got a little rambunctious on that turn there. Now he's got to spin behind. He's looking at the coaches. What do I do? He's not sure of his position here. Keep stuffing the head, Patrick. Keep stuffing that head. He's got tree trunks for legs. The kid is built. Now he needs to keep circling, not let that Ortona wrestler come around behind him. And he's going to give up the reversal there to tie it up. in the final seconds here. 2-2 score as he head into the second period off that buzzer. He's wrestling Max Flemke, a ninth grader with a 14-20 record. And I believe Patrick's record is, 6-2 off a couple of forfeits. But he did actually win, I think, four of those matches. And like I said, he's a big, strong kid. He starts down right to his feet, peels the hands, and out he goes. Take a 3-2 lead early in the second period. Otana wrestler heavy on his head, trying to get him to snap down. Patrick doing a nice job battling, staying in good position. As I said, it would have been great to work with him for 2-3 years and get him to understand the sport a little better. Another go-behind attempt here by Patrick. He's got to get under that other arm. He can get under that other arm. He can get a takedown now. He hooks the leg, which does give him the takedown, but Otana wrestler pulling on his wrist, trying to keep it out front. Patrick not understanding where to go with it, so he keeps getting swung around. And again, gives up the reversal just because he doesn't understand position of where he should be. Oh, and now his shoulder popped again. Yep, his shoulder's out. His shoulder's out. It popped out again on that go-behind by the wrestler. And that's what happens when he gets a weak ligament there. It pops on him, and this is going to be an injury default here as that definitely popped out. They're hoping to get it back in. Does go back in, I don't know if this boy will be competing. I don't think so. Nope, he's done. He'll be done. Oh, that's hard to see. Patrick gives so much hard work and tries and tries and tries, and that'll be an injury default. And 6 points for the Otana wrestler there. That was not good to see with that shoulder dislocated, popped out of the joint there.
That's too bad.
And just so in case they don't know here, but hopefully somebody tells him that that's a reoccurring injury on him. It's not something that he's recently did here in this match. Okay. So hopefully that kid doesn't feel that bad about it. But here we got the heavyweights, and boy, does Otana got a heavyweight. Grant Lower weighed in at 252 pounds. He's got to be about 6'2 out there. He's a big boy. He's a junior, 21-12 on the year. He is doing battle with Albert Lee's junior, Ben Schwemmler. And Schwemmler's record on the year is 8-11. Ben is finally working his weight down. He wants to get in at 220 pounds for individual competition. He actually got his weigh-in in there tonight at 220. So he'll
And we're back here on KETE. We do apologize for that. The power surge here at the high school, and that means all the internet boxes have to reset, and we broadcast via the internet, so
yep.
We had to wait for technology. But talk about the final match. We did miss one match. We apologize for that. A 10-0 victory for the Owatonna wrestler.
No, actually, it ended in a fall right at the end.
Oh, it was a fall, okay.
Yeah. He had the 10-0 lead off a couple takedowns. Ben wrestled hard, battled hard, was doing some good stuff, but just too much for him. Grant Lauer, the junior from Otana, 252-pounder against Ben, who weighed in at 220 as he's trying to get his weigh-ins in for the 220 individual matchups here. And so Ben goes down by a fall after trailing like 10-0 to that wrestler. As I said, Lauer, very solid heavyweight, 21-12 on the year, takes out Ben Schwemmler in a fall there at the end. But very good performance overall for your Albert Lee Tigers, a 44-27 victory over your Owatonna Huskies here in Albert Lee.